I'm going to welcome our guest, Bobby Brown. Bobby, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's definitely an honor to be back in the studio with you guys today.
Well, it is great to have you back. I just want to say a word or two from what I know about you, and then maybe you can fill in the blanks. As much as I know is that you were one of the lead organizers for the March for Our Lives demonstration in Hartford, which took place on March 13th, was it?
I believe so, either the 12th or the 13th.
Yes, at the beginning of this year. And you were one of the speakers at that event. You were the youth coordinator for the Connecticut NAACP, and you've moved on from there to do other youth mentoring and organizing and activism. Mm-hmm. And so why don't we start right there? Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what your range of operation was at the NAACP and what you've been doing since you moved on from that.
Sure. What I'll do is I'll start with the NAACP. I was a part of the NAACP my freshman year of high school. I actually carried on to it till my senior year of high school, and then I did a little bit of it while I was in college as well. I had an opportunity to sit on the local board of Bridgeport, Connecticut NAACP, where I started off as just a youth, and then I became president, and then from there I held a state seat and also a national board seat as well. My job was really just about gearing up my local community and teaching my friends and peers about the value of advocacy, civil engagement, education, voter right empowerment, and also teaching them the value of what it's like to be a young person in this time where so many things are happening in our community, and how we could be a voice to make sure that our voices are heard, because at the end of the day, the future is here for the adults, but it's also here for us, and it's for us to take advantage of that. So I did that for a very long time. I actually believe that's what started the movement inside of me to really just want to be a voice for my peers and be a voice for the voiceless. We often hear that being said a lot, but we never see it that much amongst young people. So that opened up many, many doors for me, and also to keeping me involved in my community. I actually had an opportunity to work with different high school students across the state and also on the local level as well to really get them involved in, you know, advocating. And my big thing, if anyone knows me, I am very big on advocacy. I don't care if you're advocating for March for Dimes on down to advocating for educational system. If you have a passion about it, I truly believe that you should stand on your two feet and fight for it, whatever that is. And I think we're seeing that across the globe, and especially at March of Our Lives, that value that it set a great tone for the youth across America to just really say, hey, gun violence is a big issue. Why are these guns in our community? Why are these guns taking out our friends? And that to see my peers stand up in front of thousands of people and share their thoughts was very passionate. And also to be a representative from my community, making sure that people that look like me are actually seeing their voice be heard across the nation. I'm only one person, but I believe that day a lot of seeds were planted, and now I can see the fruitfulness watering for the generation to come, and, you know, even my peers in itself. So this work of advocacy, this work of involvement, this work of understanding politics and also community development is so important and dear to my heart that I've, you know, chosen to take that opportunity to not only just be an advocate, but also be a mentor too. Because I've learned that, you know, I was blessed with a number of people in the Bridgeport community and abroad, but mainly the Bridgeport community, that took time to pour into me and took time to advocate with me and teach me the ropes and show me what it's like and how to use my voice and when it's okay to be quiet, when it's okay to speak up. And I think it's important that our generation is covered by those individuals and also understand the value that they don't have to advocate by themselves. Advocacy doesn't mean you have to do it alone. It means that you can get a group of people that believe in the same purpose as you and fight for that same purpose together. So I think that's important, and that's what has really, you know, changed my life, because it's given me a better meaning. It's given me a better understanding of those people who don't have anyone advocating for them, and I could be that individual.
That's great to hear, because you definitely have command, and that you're using it with such adeptness is really encouraging. You said you worked with high school students around the state, various schools, and some community people and stuff like that. Could you just give me an example of the type of conversation you might have with a high school student who you're trying to get involved, to pay attention to the issues, to, if they're old enough, to register to vote, to focus and understand their potential to be a part of the political process.
So one of our biggest issues, especially with students that are in middle school and high school and even college, is the biggest issue is education. And we can't pretend that education doesn't exist and that education is not important, because at the end of the day, they are pushing us to go to college. They're pushing us to pursue careers that require us to one day pay back that debt that someone's paying for our education. So I remember growing up, we had the superintendent's board, where they had a round table of just young people, especially high school students. And we had an opportunity to sit with the superintendent and tell him the needs of our schools. It shouldn't be that students that are in the Bridgeport area or in other areas where they don't have textbooks. Some of the textbooks that they have used were the same textbooks from class of 19 something something. And now we're in the 2000s and students still don't have access to proper books. Or the fact that the school budget is an issue, that things that are super, super important like music education and arts are being cut out of programs because there's not enough money for the educational system or for the school budget. Topics like that that really upset students and, things that keep students safe. So, for instance, those after-school programs that are being cut, it really does a lot to the student who doesn't have anything to do after school, which leaves the doors open for them to get into trouble, which leaves the door open for them to become incarcerated or to get a record at a young age. So this is where we start up an argument, and teachers, this really shows a passion of our generation, especially young people, to say, hey, this has to all do with Washington, D.C. This all has to do with Hartford. This all has to do with our community. This all has to do with our school. So the moment that students see the value of where the line of command comes in, they start to see, hey, we're dealing with this on our small level, but who can we fight at the higher level? How can we get the people in Washington to hear our concerns? So what we do is we teach them, go and let your voice be heard. Now this generation has flocked to social media. So if you don't listen to us in Hartford, or if you don't listen to us in Washington, D.C., we'll get online and we'll make a video. We'll show you what it's like to be in a classroom with no books. We'll show you what it's like to be in a classroom with the same old desk for year after year. We'll show you what it's like to watch graffiti be across the walls of our halls. These are what young people have, reverted to, because they are either not invited to the table, or when they are invited to the table, they don't understand the process. So I believe that this is the time where we invite them to the table and teach them the process. Teach them the value of what it is to advocate for what you believe in. How do you go about getting a petition? How do you go about writing and making sure you have a testimony moment in Hartford? How do you go about making sure Washington, D.C. hears your concern? I think that's important, that young people see that their seat at the table has always been there. It's just that other individuals who are at that table need to realize, okay, we have a generation coming up and we need to make sure we make way for them as well. So that is one issue that I think really helped the city of Bridgeport. And I'm not sure if they do it anymore. They probably don't. But I remember that was a big thing that changed my life in high school, was being able to go to my superintendent, look him in the face and with my peers and tell them, hey, we're struggling with this. Hey, we would like a new high school. Hey, we would like better teachers. Hey, how come these teachers don't look like me? You know what I'm saying? These are concerns that we were able to bring to him. And no, they didn't happen right away. It may have started one step at a time. But the fact is, they realized that we weren't going anywhere and we're going to make sure we be heard. So I think that's important.
You said it didn't happen right away, but these type of things gather momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And with social media, that momentum can happen real fast.
And literally within 10 to 5 seconds, you can send a video out, and it doesn't even have to be long. You can send a 2-minute video and it can go viral very fast. We see the idiot things go viral. So imagine when we back the positive things,
yeah,
can go viral as,
yeah,
well.
We're speaking with Bobby Brown, who is a youth activist, youth mentor. She administers programs and does a lot of advocacy around the state and probably nationally. We'll probably hear about that. If not this time, then you're definitely destined for that kind of profile. Why don't I just ask you, what's your reaction? You were here election night stating your points of view to our various guests. You spoke interactive with Ralph Nader and our other guests. That night we sat here, we didn't know what was going to happen in Connecticut. We left here. You got home before I did, but I got home about midnight. I still didn't know who our governor was.
We didn't find out till that, like, round about like 12 or 10 that next day.
Yeah, because I think in New Haven, I'm not sure about Bridgeport, but New Haven had a major glitch in the voting machine thing. And so I went to bed like all riled up. And when I woke up the next day, it was like, governor, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, Attorney General, all five congressional representatives, State Senate, State House of Representatives, all went strong Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
What's your reaction to that electoral, I guess you could say, wave, at least in Connecticut?
I think that it's pretty different, and I think it's going to really leave a mark on history as far as, like, you know, how well we did as a people gathering together and actually standing for what we believe in, and to see the change in, you know, the change for the House, you know, just seeing things changing. I'm excited to see where this will go, and I'm just hoping that the communities hold each elected official to the hold the fire to their feet as far as what they say they're going to do, and to make sure that the voice of the community is heard. Because I think a lot of times is people get into office and it becomes about them and not about the people. So I feel like if the people really hold them accountable and them too hold themselves accountable, we may see major change.
I actually participated in a talk show, I think the weekend after the election. And one of the things they were talking about was like, well, you know, just what would you say to Governor Lamont if you had his ear now? People said, oh, well, my taxes are too high and mm-hmm. you know, different stuff like that. So one of the things I said was, Governor, you won this election from New Haven,
mm-hmm.
from Bridgeport,
yep.
from Waterbury, from Hartford. The urban communities turned out
well,
like never before. Don't forget about them.
And I think that's so important. And I think, too, it's like, you know, and if he doesn't fall through on his plan, I truly believe that this would be that moment where, you know, it would either not necessarily break us or make us, but it would teach us who really is for the people. And I think that's so important that, you know, and I'm glad that Bridgeport, New Haven, all the different areas got out and activated their vote, because I think that's what it's considered. You're activating that right and you're making sure your voice be heard. But also, too, these areas are the areas that are dealing with the struggle the most. And we need to make sure that the needs of the people are heard, you know, whether that's educational, whether that's civic engagement, whether that's simply being, you know, men and women from incarceration coming back into their community. How can you not only just deal with taxes, but make sure our voices are heard across the board?
Right now, there's a 2-year period when the current state House of Representatives in Connecticut, and I'm not sure if the Senate is a 2-year term as well. That might be a 4-year term in Connecticut. But in this period, what do we need to do to let these people know that it's not a free ride from now and that they got to pay attention to the cities? They can't just be figuring out this way of cutting services and cutting taxes, you know, and watching the state infrastructure just go down the tubes. What kind of activism do you contemplate in this couple of years?
Well, what forward? I would say to this is we got to be activated on our local part, because I think we always look for the bigger elections and then we forget about the smaller ones, staying involved and, you know, finding who our councilmen are, making sure. I think, too, because when we follow through on the local level, then we can start pushing issues higher, because we first got to hold those accountable, that hold the aldermen, the councilmen, the councilwomen. All of those areas need to be held accountable for the actions that they make, but also to the promises as well. And I think, too, it starts by showing up. I truly believe the more people show up, the more that they see your face in those seats, the more they'll be saying, okay, I can't just say something and not do this. And also, too, is, you know, I heard an activist, you know, in Bridgeport, we just recently had a community forum. And what they were talking about in this community forum was like, oh, we're going to go to Hartford, we're going to do da-da-da-da. And she said, she blew my mind when she said it. She was like, and if they don't listen to you in Hartford, you come back to Bridgeport and you get us. You get a busload of us and we go to Hartford and we'll make them listen to us. So I think that spirit of and enthusiasm really showed our elected officials to say, hey, you're not in this by yourself. You don't have to make these decisions by yourself. You can keep us in mind, but if you need the greater representation, we will be there, like they did at the election for all of those that were participating.
Yeah.
But also, too, is I believe our elected officials need to get on a board, get on a committee. That is so important. If education is your thing, or if civic engagement is your thing, or if whatever the topics are going on in Hartford all the way to Washington, D.C., get on the board and advocate for that particular area.
You're talking about the committees in the state legislature.
Yes. All those, there's committees for them to get on. Get on a committee, advocate on that committee, represent your state on that committee. And we're not saying that you have to be a jack of all trades and sit on everything. If you can, fine and dandy for it, go for it. However, get on something, make your mark in something, and it should be for the people. Because we put you there, and just as we put you there, we can vote you right back out. Right. It's all about finding that voice, and whatever your strong suit is, get in that strong suit and make sure that you're doing what you need to do.
Beautifully said. So, Bobby, tell us about the initiative that you're starting coming up real soon, and then we'll say a word about the programming that we're going to try to do on a regular basis here,
yes,
starting in the new year.
Yes, I have been working on this vision. I've been inspired from all different type of individuals and stuff that I've participated in. But I am a young African-American woman. And I say all the time, like, I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for the women that my mom have surrounded me around that empowered me and, you know, taught me the value of education, advocacy, and accomplishment and things like that. So I wanted this year to launch, I'm launching a 100 Girls Leading. 100 Girls Leading. Most likely probably be, you know, I'm pushing for more than 100, but that's the thing that I'm aiming for. 100 Girls Leading, teaching them the value of advocacy, mentorship, and community development. I think it's important that young people understand the value of mentorship before you become a great woman in Congress or before you become a great woman on Wall Street or wherever you may find yourself. You need to understand the value of being a young woman, a younger woman, a young girl with passion, power, and provision. Like, you need to understand that. So my goal is in June 1st, location to be announced. I'll make sure when we actually get the location down, I'll bring the information to you. But it's going to be a day of teaching young girls to advocate, teaching them the value of different things that are happening in their community, and then also giving them an opportunity to use their voice. And then a day of fun, food, and mentorship. They'll get a chance to meet with women that are in powerful positions and be able to be mentored by them, see entertainment, hear music and stuff like that. But my whole goal is to see the value of the tier mentorship that starts from a young girl to a middle school girl, high school girl, all the way up to an adult woman. And if anyone is interested, I encourage you to join our board, be a part of it. It's going to be in Bridgeport. I plan to take it not just for Bridgeport, but different areas, but I got to do home first. So my community is here. So I want to make sure I execute it here. First.
Beautiful. To move that initiative, perhaps connect with that initiative, but also to go forward and to try to maybe find a way to start the process of connecting high school students with college student mm-hmm. activists and also urban students with suburban and rural students.
Yep.
We're going to start a program here. Actually, the first show we're planning is January 1st,
yep.
New Year's Day. And you're going to come with some of your peers, and we're going to talk about a range of issues, including, just kind of brainstorm here, and I know we talked about it, but environmental justice issues.
Mm-hmm.
Why are incinerators based in cities? There's plenty of space for them, so they don't have to be affecting the health of people who live in the cities. Issues of economic justice, of racial justice, gun issues, all these kinds of things we're going to talk about, but also ways about how to build activism around them
mm-hmm.
across geographical class and racial lines to try to build that kind of activism. So January 1st, First Tuesday, Rainy Day Radio, will have time set aside for that event to happen.
Yes, and we're super excited. And I want to say thank you to you for always reaching out and giving us this opportunity. And also, too, just believing in the voice of the young people. I think that's super important.
When I was in high school, we had our first demonstration when I was actually in ninth grade. We went and we picketed the local military base, which was called Armed Forces Day. We went up with a bunch of kids and we set up in front of the base and we said, why don't we have a peace day instead of just an Armed Forces Day?
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of bad reaction to that, because
mm-hmm.
you know, people regarded that as very disrespectful to our armed forces. It wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be talking about trying to do alternatives to just focusing on military and militarism. But in any case, so my activism started at the age, you know, when you were in high school and college. So I know that there's potential power
mm-hmm.
at that for high school students, and I've worked with high school students on radio programming and stuff like that. So this is, I'm absolutely really looking forward to this, to continue the youth radio programming right here at WPKN.
I'm excited.
January 1st. don't miss it. And I want to thank you, Bobby, for coming down on this chilly night. And
thank you for having me.
We hope to have you back on Saturday for the Resistance Roundtable, mm-hmm. if you can make that arrangement. Resistance Roundtable is on Saturday. It's one of our special, public affairs programs that I mentioned before. Resistance Roundtable, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. every second Saturday of the month. And Scott Harris, Ruth Ann Baumgartner, myself, Richard Hill, and special panelist Bobby Brown hopefully will be there as well. Thanks so much, Bobby, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Yeah.